It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad. Yay! Our guest this morning is one of my absolute favorite women on earth, Sister Judy Gifford. How are you doing this morning, my gorgeous friend?
All of that.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to our text line, 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended today. Our sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma, y'all. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I want to encourage you to reach out and contact Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln. They can find you what you're looking for, even if it's a red Dodge or a Chrysler van. I think I've covered it all, Sister Judy. Would you please pray to start us out this morning?
Prayer helps.
It does.
Amen. Father, we come to you today to humble ourselves before you and know who you are. I ask today, God, that you will come and that you will quicken my mind, that you will touch all of us in the room today, God, that the anointing will be here, God, that you will touch the listeners, God. And Father, today that you will be glorified, that your name will be uplifted, God, for I realize I am nothing and you are everything, God. And today I ask, God, that you will reveal your word to us, Lord, so that we might grow, so that we might eat of it, Lord, so that we might become what we need to become. Help us to see today who Jesus is in a brand new way. And I thank you, God, for helping my inabilities, oh God, and getting your word across through flawed servants, oh Lord, that we might be, oh God, humble before you and effective for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I had to turn my mic back on.
Okay.
I love your title this morning. It's my favorite person, my favorite word, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus.
Well, the Bible tells us that it is the name, the name, amen, that is above all the other names that we could say is that name, Jesus. In that name, Jesus, there are so many things we haven't even realized is there yet, because it is the name. He not only has that name, it's not only a title, but it holds all kinds of power. And he has offered that to us. He's told us that in his name, we are to pray in his name. We are to call out to his name. In Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you. So there is a power in calling out the name of Jesus. You can breathe it so very softly, or you can say it so very loudly. I was in a group of people, I don't even remember where, but in that everybody said, Jesus. And you know, I felt something quicken in my spirit when I said that name, Jesus. There's a power when we say that name, Jesus. And it's sad that people use that name and they use it as a cuss word. One little girl had only heard it used as a cuss word, and she was she grew up to be a missionary. But she was a bus child, and she was sent to Sunday school. And they asked her when she got home, how did she like it? And she said, I liked it, but they just kept cussing and cussing. And because they were saying Jesus, she thought they were cussing. And the Bible says that we are to honor this name, that we're not to drag it through the mud. We're not to drag it through the dirt. We're not to use it as a slang word. It is a holy, righteous name, a name that holds more power than any other name in the world. And the Bible says, this is, and his name shall be called. God named him, and his name shall be called Jesus. And it says he is Emmanuel. He is, his name means God with us. And the name Jesus itself means Savior. He is our Savior. And I thought today it would be good to just talk about him a little bit and just lift him up. You know, if we're struck on somebody, little girls or little guys, and I know girls, I don't know, since I was a girl, I don't know much about the guys, but in high school, if you're stuck on somebody, you write his name all over your books, and you write your name and put his name as your last name. You know, that name is important because you're thinking someday you're going to get that name, you know, and it's going to be your name. But there's no other name any more precious than to say, I belong to God. I'm Jesus's people. I'm a Jesus people. They used to, in the 60s, call you Jesus freak, you know, but we're, that's what we are, isn't it? You know, we're Jesus freak, if that's what they want to call us.
You know, some of my friends call me that, and I just look at them and say, well, thank you. That's the best thing anybody's ever called me.
Yes.
Is the Jesus freak.
Yeah.
Thank
that's
you for
true.
That.
That's true. Because if they are not in him, they don't get it. If they're not in him, they have used his name wrong. If they're not in him, they're into the world. And this is what the enemy does to us. And even if we as Christians, he blows up some big something. And usually he takes something from our past or something, some great desire or some empty need. You know, when the devil came to Jesus, he didn't go to any strong points. He went directly to Jesus' need. He went directly to Jesus' weakness. So in the flesh, Jesus had not eaten for 40 days. I can't imagine going 40 days without eating. My body wouldn't let me do it at this stage in life. And I don't know if I ever could have. I did fast one time 17 days, and God gave, wound up being 18, and God gave me strength to do that, or I couldn't have done it. And there was a direct point. He didn't have me do it just to be doing it. There was a direct point to it when I did it. But Jesus had fasted, and he was hungry because he was a man. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are. And one of the things that I think somewhere down inside he had this promise, because the Bible says he endured the cross for the joy set before him, for what he knew was coming. He knew someday he was going to be King of Kings and he was going to be Lord of Lords. But right now, he couldn't see that. He had to take that by faith, just like we have to take by faith the promises of God and believe God that what he says he's able to perform, and what he promises is he's able to do. And that's what Jesus had to do. And so when the devil came to him, he said, if you're the, now Jesus 40 days before had been baptized, and he had heard a voice out of heaven. He had heard God himself speak and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Don't you want to hear the Lord say he's pleased with you? That to me is the ultimate, the best thing in the world, to think God says that he's pleased with you. I don't want him to be displeased with me. And if there's anything in me that is displeasing to him, I want him to correct it and to change it to where when I stand before him, that he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Then he won't say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But the devil's very sly. And he knows our weaknesses. I don't know how he knows our weaknesses. I know he's not everything. I know he's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's not equal to God in any way. I don't know if he sends out little imps to study us. I think he might. He finds out if we're offendable. Oh, good. He sets up somebody to offend us. This is what she really wants. But she's trying to believe God. But see, I've been able to insert some doubt there. You know what I mean? I think he studied us and works how to break us down in our mind. Our mind is our biggest battlefield right here. Because really, our hearts, when we come to Jesus, we love him. And we want him. We don't want to fail him. We want to serve him. But our mind, and that's where the enemy came to Jesus' mind with a question. He'd already heard God say, you're my son. I'm pleased with you. told everybody, because he didn't just speak it to Jesus. He spoke it to everybody. This is, he's telling people. He was so proud of him. This is my beloved son. And he wanted people to know. He sent John to go before him and say, he's coming, the Christ is coming. And John wasn't even sure which one was the Christ when he asked Jesus, are you he that's to come, or shall we look for another? You know, I thought you were. Are you he that's to come? But as Jesus is in this temptation, the devil comes and goes, if, he throws a doubt. He always tries to throw a doubt to our mind. If you're the Son of God, take this stone. You can, can't you? You aren't you supposed to do miracles, you know? I mean, it doesn't record he said that, but he came up and said, turn this stone into bread, if you're the Son of God. And so Jesus had to have something to fall back on, something to say. Just instead of just turning his back, he had to have something to say, so he went to Scripture. And thank God he knew the Scripture, and that's why it's important for us to know the Scripture. But here he came, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, if we could get that and hang on to it and realize what the mouth of God is going to tell us. He told us right here in this word, and it's true. One lady told me, if it says it here, you can write your name on it and claim it, because it says it right here. You can write your name, you can take it. And so I did that. I went through, my kids needed a healing, one of them. And so I just went through Scripture, and every place I see talk about my seed to the third generation, and I would just write their name there, that God, you know, that God is going to heal them. But temptation is something that I wish wasn't there. But if Jesus overcame it, then he even said, greater works than these will you do. He, every time the enemy came to him, Jesus knew that he's going to be the Son of, you know, is the Son of God. He was going to be elevated. He was going to die and suffer. I think he knew that. That's my opinion, that he knew he would do that, because he kept telling his disciples that's what was going to happen. And but 3 days I'm going to rise. And they didn't get it. They couldn't put it together. But he came to Jesus in that moment and said, come here, look at all the kingdoms of this world. And somehow he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I'll give these to you. I will give these to you. Do you know the devil is a liar? Do you think he would have actually given Jesus that? In any way he'd have given Jesus anything. I did hear of a woman that went to hell. Matter of fact, I brought this book. I'm not sure why exactly I brought this. But this guy that visited hell got to see things. Now, there's another one called The Divine Revelation of Hell. And one of the people is either Weiss or Mary Jane Baker or something like that. I may have her name wrong. That got to see hell. And there was they saw a woman being brought before Satan. And she said, you promised me that if I would serve you, you would give me part of your kingdom. And they said, he laughed at her. And he said, don't you know I'm a liar? You know, I'm not giving you anything. And then he started punishing her. And they started whipping her and different things that they did, whatever her punishment was. And I think in order to appreciate Jesus, the way we need to appreciate Jesus is to know there is another place to go. And it's called hell. And it's not made for you, but you will go there if you don't get Jesus. That if you can miss a lot of things in life and it not making a lot of, you may never have a lot of money. You may never get to get married. You may never get to have kids. You may never get the finer things in life. You may never get to go to a movie. Who knows? Who knows what those things that, you know, you may say, well, I want to visit Paris. I'm never going to get to do that. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. Don't miss this one thing. Don't miss Jesus. Because if people can talk you out of him, there's people in this town and in every town more than likely that are telling you that there's another way. They'll knock on your door and they'll tell you there's no hell. Not just that particular group. There's other people you can get involved with that will say there's another God And they worship people all over the world, worship different gods. They say in India, there's thousands of gods. And if you preach Jesus, they'll just kind of set him on the shelf with the rest of their gods. But let me tell you, Jesus came for a purpose. He had a mission when he came. He came, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to send, to, the Bible says he was slain from the foundation of the world. So I think God in his omnipotence knew what he was going to have to go rescue these people that he made, that they weren't going to obey him. And not only did Adam and Eve fall under sin, but he caused the rest of us to mess up because we were born into it. And you don't, it don't take very long to watch two little kids playing and you can find the sin in their life real quick. You know, everything is mine. They're grabbing it. It's mine. I want it. And if whatever it is the one kid gets, they all want it. And they'll go fight for it. And they'll hit or they'll scratch. And they can be 2 years old. And that sin nature is there. And you'll have. So we needed a deliverer. We needed someone to come that was pure and whole and could deliver. And who would think that it was through dying? Don't you think a king walks in conquering? You know, and that's what they expected. They expected, that's what the Jews expected, him to come in as a king and conquer and deliver them from the Romans. And that's what they were looking for. But he's coming back that day, that way one day as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says every eye will see him. Every eye. I don't know if it'll be through CNN and TV or how it will be. But every eye will see him, and at some point, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Even if it's in death, people will confess that he is Lord. Even if it is in hell, people will confess that he is Lord. Amen? Amen. So praise God. If Jesus overcame all the temptations for the joy set before him, then we need to get close to Jesus and let him set that joy in our heart and then go whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I'm going to make heaven. Whatever it takes, whatever I have to give up. But what happens is when we yield everything and we think we're giving up it all, then he turns and gives it all back. Not the sin extracted, but he gives us the joy that we were looking for. He gives us the comfort and the care that we were looking for. He gives us all those things, but there's a moment when we have to surrender as Jesus did in the garden. He knew he wasn't so tickled about having to go through the suffering. And I know he didn't probably realize all that, how horrible that suffering would be. Who knows? Because he was a man. Plus, he was God. But he went before the Lord and he said, if it's possible, if there's any other way, would you let this pass from me that I don't have to do this? And then he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And I think we all have to come to that point to say, whatever it is we're holding in our hand and we're holding so tightly to it because we want it so desperately, because there's a need there. You know, with Jesus, he needed to eat. But after the temptation came and he stood there and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then what happened is the devil left him. And after all the temptations, the devil left him. And angels came and ministered to him. You think they gave him food? Of course they did. They gave him food so that he could go on and walk and leave. You know, after you've been deprived of, and it looks like he possibly could have been deprived of water, that takes a lot of human strength out of you. To, you know, he probably lost a good 40 pounds. The people I know that have fasted 40 days, they've lost about a pound a day. And I guess that'd be a good quick diet, wouldn't it, if it didn't kill you. But anyway, he overcame the temptations, and then he began to go out, and he began his ministry. And when he began his ministry, his mom told him, whatever, this is their need. They need, they're out of wine. And he said, why are you coming to me? Kind of like, why are you coming to me? My time is not yet. And I heard Mark Lowry say she knew he was the Messiah and she was ready for him to Messiah. And he was still living at home, you know, at 30 years old. And she came to him and wanted him to fix this problem. And it said, he said, my time is not yet. But Mark, like Mark Lowry said, it was, you know, because he went ahead and stepped into it and turned his first miracle. Mark Lowry says, I love it that the first miracle he did was just to keep the party going. And he did stepped out into his ministry. And I think this is my guessing, and this is my experience. I think this is that before we step out into ministry, before God lays heavy anointing on us, there will be a testing time to see, to prove where our heart is, and to prove that we're going to stay faithful before God entrusts us with a great ministry. It's step by step. He teaches us. And then I think it's what I've noticed, that there is, at least if there's not a God, if God don't send it, the devil comes and tries to mess up what God's going to do in your life. And so you have to go back to what Jesus did in the Word. And sometimes that's all there is getting with God in the Word. Sometimes people have helped us all they can help us. They don't know anything else to do to help us. We just have to say, call on the Lord, whoever calls on the Lord, and take those promises. I think it'd be good if you're in an hour of temptation, if you're in an hour of struggle of some kind, is to take a notebook and begin to go through the Word of God and begin to write down scriptures and begin to write them down so you can grab them and read them so you can take them with you in the car. So that, because really, we are in a warfare. Mm-hmm. We're in a warfare, and we really don't know the strategy of the enemy, although the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. The thing he's trying to do is take us away from Jesus. That's the bottom line. He's trying to take us away from the church. He's trying to take away from Christian friends. He's trying to take us away out into the world by promising us all kinds of things, telling us all, this is the way, you know. Jesus says, this is the way, walk ye in it. But the devil also comes and goes, you, I'm over here, you know, and I got something really good for you. And you have to go, you know what? You're a liar. He even comes to you and say, aren't you hungry? Mm-hmm. You know, you could turn that into bread. That's what, you know, you could do this and it'd be okay just one time. And it'll really help you right now, you know. And he'll come to you, and he doesn't come in your strength. He comes in your weakness. He doesn't come when you, here I intend to talk about Jesus and I'm talking about the enemy, but in order to stay faithful to Jesus, we got to deal with the enemy, because he's going to come up and he's going to send us all kinds of flack and things that sometimes just blow your mind. And he's going to try to do things to harm us at times, and yet angels are there to intervene. Angels are there to help. Angels are there to minister. The Lord did something really neat for me. I told it at the nursing home yesterday. But day before yesterday, I was standing, just standing. I walked up to the end of the table. I don't know what happened. I don't have a clue what happened. I don't know if I hit my foot. I had a walker standing there. I don't know what happened, but I started losing my balance. Mm-hmm. And I literally started going sideways. And I tried to grab the handle of that to steady myself, and I missed it. And I literally was going down on the tile, but somehow, some way, there was a chair turned in exactly the right way for me to fall into it. And I fell into it, and it rolled about as far as that wall is there, and it rolled and hit the carpet, and I was fine. Or I would have probably been in the hospital with a broken hip today. But I'm like, thank God for divine intervention and for Jesus who looks down. And Jesus makes us all kinds of promises that we can hang on to. He says, I am with you even to the end of the world. I will lead them in paths that they have not known, and I will make darkness light before them. I mean, you can just go through here, and this is Isaiah. And it says, I will make the crooked places straight. These things I will do for them. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by my name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And it goes on to tell, it says, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you. You know what? And this one says, the Lord is pleased for his righteousness' sake. There's, you can go through here and you can, in my Bible, I have put yellow for my promises that in this book, for my healing promises. And, but I have so much marked. And some people say they don't mark in their Bible, but I do. It says, for your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. But a mere moment I've forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. And the Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Praise God. So there's promises for us that we are going to make it. If we will try, if we'll put forth an effort, if we'll learn, there's some things that we have to know in order to overcome. We've got to know who Jesus is. We've got to know we're lost. You got to know you're lost. You know, you got to know you need a Savior. You have to repent of your sins. You have to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you never call, there's a scripture that says, you don't receive because you don't ask. And then when you do ask, you're asking amiss. You're asking the wrong things, like a pink Cadillac in your driveway tonight, you know. So, you know what I mean? You're asking to heap it on your lust and not out of a sincere heart to seek God. But anyway, God makes a way for us. And I've got some things I want to read about Jesus here. But he makes a way where there seems to be none. And we have to just keep pushing. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against him. So we have to, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. Particularly when we're under attack of some kind and we know there's a prize out there. We can't just give up and we can't let the devil have his way. Because if we're too haphazard about it, he's going to overcome us. But we're going to have to realize, wait a minute, if I'm in a war, where's my weapons? I got to find some weapons here. I'm being attacked. When I went through depression when I was young, I had no clue there was such a thing as depression. You know, that was for weird people, you know. I never knew there was such a thing as depression. Well, how am I going to get out of this? What are my tools? Only tool I knew was prayer at the time. But prayer's a big one. Prayer's a big one. And there's a lot of other tools. And there's a lot of other things we can put on. But we've got to get into the Word and know how to lay hold on it.
Amen. Speaking of pray, would now be a good time to take the prayer request, Sister Judy?
Definitely.
Okay. We have a couple this morning. Our first one, pray for the family of Pauline Smith, who passed into the arms of her heavenly father at age 95.
Wow.
How precious is that?
Yeah.
95 years. Wow.
95 faithful.
Yes. Pray for Brittany Allen, who received a concussion when she fell in cheerleading practice. And then let's pray for the family of Shirley Allen, who went to her eternal home yesterday. And then there's one on the back. And let's pray for Danae Taylor, who is battling a spleen issue, and she is feeling bad today.
Okay.
So if we can cover those
okay,
needs.
There's also a couple of my friends, friends and some acquaintances. One preacher's wife, Brenda Exley, passed yesterday, and we need to pray for her family. And another one was Terry Schreffler. She passed just day before yesterday, I think. And her husband, Paul, and her twin sister, Sherry, and their children, I know they need our prayers, too. So they've all been kind of on my heart because they were acquainted.
Yeah.
It's kind of shocking when people your age start passing, you know. You realize, you know, life is so short. It's just so very short.
Well, let's take these to our daddy in heaven.
Amen.
Who is the one?
Yes. Yes. Amen. Father, we just pray, Lord, and bring these families, Lord, all of them to you that have lost loved ones, Father. The family of Pauline Smith, Lord. The family, oh Lord, of Shirley Allen. The family, Lord, of Terry Schreffler and Brenda, Lord. We just bring all these families to you today, and we just ask you, God, for grace and mercy. Lord, only the comfort of the Holy Spirit can help them at this time, Lord. I pray you will use people's words to help, Lord, and you will use people around them to comfort and strengthen them. But ultimately, Lord, it's only the Holy Spirit that can go to the heart and the mind and speak deep in their soul and speak peace to them, God. I pray for the gentlemen. All of these are ladies that have passed, Lord. And I pray for their husbands and for their families, God, that you will just bring a still small voice of peace of the Holy Spirit deep inside their heart, God. And that they, oh God, will find, God, that you have a good plan still for them. You still have things for them to do. You still have a plan, and that they will adjust, Lord, as they walk with you. You will bring healing to their life. I pray that you'll minister to them today, and I give you praise for it, Lord. And I pray for Brittany Allen, Lord. You see this concussion that she had, Lord, or that she has, and I pray it will heal. I pray there'll be no after effect, that her memory will not be hindered or in any way, that she will be as though it never happened. I pray you'll just comfort her, strengthen her, heal her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.